I am certainly glad to be here today, and I'm glad that you are here, and I'm glad that you are here to hear the things that God has commanded within His Word. What you hear will be determined by two things: what is said, and how well you listen. For our text, I've chosen Mark chapter 4, verses 23 through 25. If you'll turn there in your Bibles, we will see the words of Jesus as He spoke, as He oftentimes dealt with His people, as He reminded them to listen. He said, "If any man have ears to hear, let him hear." And He said unto them, "Take heed what ye hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath." I think most everybody remembers the "Can You Hear Me Now?" commercials that were on TV. It began in 2002 and ran for about 9 years. I was surprised when I saw that little nugget there that it only lasted 9 years. It seemed to me like it lasted about 30. Because every other commercial just about was a guy walking about and in a cornfield or behind a sign or in a car lot or wherever he was, "Can you hear me now?" But being able to hear is an utmost important aspect of listening. When you contemplate listening, you must realize that it is often an overlooked part of the communication process. Communication is between two individuals, or as some techies want to admit, that between two machines. But machines don't listen, so I'm going to discount that. But between two individuals, the communication process requires one speaking and one listening. And if the communication goes as it should, the one who is speaking will become the listener among men, while the one who previously was the listener will become the speaker. But so often, our only goal in communication is to get our point across. When we're communicating to people, we want to get our point across. I know of a preacher who would admit, at least when he was younger, that he would rather preach than teach a class. He made that statement several times, and I asked him, why? He said, "Well, just to be perfectly honest with you, when I'm preaching, people won't talk back." But make no mistake about it, preaching is also communication, but it requires that one listen also. We want to speak our mind. We want to say our piece. But throughout Scripture, the believer is reminded the importance of listening. There's an old question that is oftentimes asked: if a tree falls in the forest and there's nobody there to hear it, does it make a sound? The answer is, does it matter? The same thing is true when it comes to communication. If you are communicating and there's no one there to hear, does it matter? Will it be received? Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 15. There we are reminded of the importance of listening. There we are informed of the difference between one who refuses to listen and one who listens when it is proper to do so. Suffice it to say that we don't always listen to everything that is said, because there are things to which we should not listen. And this is talking about the counsel of the Lord. The way of the fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. When indeed God speaks, as he has done through his word, and as he spoke to man down through the ages, when at times he spoke to him directly, man is wise if he would hearken to the counsel of God. But before he could hearken to that counsel, he had to listen. I was often surprised as I was growing up that my dad stopped saying, "Do you hear me?" And he began to say, "Do you understand me?" And what he was actually asking was, were you listening to me the first 5 times I told you this? Because if one does not listen, they're not going to grasp it. They're not going to understand it. They're not going to be able to heed the counsel. And Jesus would frequently tell his audience, as we read in the text, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. You know, it's amazing to me that God has provided us with everything we need in this life and for the spiritual life as well. He's given us the proper equipment to hear, to see, to do the things that we need to do. That's not saying that everybody has that. I am told that you don't really appreciate something until you lose it. And I am told that those who have impaired hearing or have lost some of their hearing, they appreciate it so much more now than they did before they had problems. But he would often tell them, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And James chapter 1 and verse 19 is a New Testament passage that shows us that it not only existed, or the need to listen, not only existed in the days of Jesus under the Old Testament law, and even before Jesus, when God spoke to man, beginning with giving the law to Moses in the wilderness and up until the time of Christ, but even afterwards. James was directed to write, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. I received instruction on that as well as a child. I was told as a young boy, you have two ears and one mouth. You know what that means, don't you? No, sir, what does that mean? That means that you are to listen twice as much as you talk. But listening also has a bearing on enlightenment. It's not just a matter of the ears. It's a matter of the mind, the heart of man. When we take sounds into our auditory canals, our brain processes those sounds. We understand what they are. And sometimes when it's a sound of warning, we understand that to be a sound of warning, and we are enlightened as to the danger that exists. If indeed we couldn't discern those sounds, well, we wouldn't know the difference between the bell ringing for supper and a rattlesnake. But when you listen with a receptive heart, there are things that God shows us and keeps showing because we are listening with obedient ears. Jesus also said to take care how you listen. That leads to the question, how should we listen? There are a number of reasons or a number of ways in which we might listen. First and foremost, we must listen that we might understand. Oftentimes, we wonder why people go over things repeatedly. It's so that everyone will understand. Not everybody grasps everything at the same time. And if indeed everything was said one time and then we move on to the next point and the next point and the next point, somebody's going to miss something along the way and they're going to be lost. They're going to say, well, I don't get it. It doesn't all match together. So we should listen to understand. And that requires humility. Must realize and understand that what we are to listen to is for our own good. That the one who is providing the information knows what is for our good. To listen is to get clarity. When we listen with prejudiced ears, we stop listening once we hear something that we disagree with. If we have a firm stance on something, let's just say salvation. We have been taught all of our lives that salvation is attainable through a single means, doing one little thing. You fill in the blanks there. And then we hear someone expound unto us the gospel plan of salvation, which requires several things. We'll go over those at the end of the sermon. And then we shut down because they're telling us something different than what we've heard all of our lives. If indeed you have been brought up from the time you could think and talk and walk, and that 2 + 2 = 7, then you go to school and the teacher says 2 + 2 = 4, and you shut down because, why, that's not what I've heard. Because you don't want to listen to that which you have not heard, or that which you're not secure in, or that which you've not determined for yourself to be so, then you're going to lose out. But if we get an understanding before we respond, we can avoid miscommunication. When we know what the person is saying, when we know what the person is putting forth to us, oftentimes somebody might come to us and we're thinking that they're giving us a compliment. And then we say, well, thank you very much. And then we finally realize, they're kind of scolding me. Doesn't always work the way we want it to. We should also listen to obey. When we listen, especially to the Word of God, we should listen so that we might be able to obey. If we indeed obey, we are going to be pleasing to God. If in fact that which is said, that which is stated, that which is proclaimed from the pulpit is the Word of God, and we're all preachers are to speak as the oracles of God, therefore, we can check it out. But if we listen and we have an understanding, then we will obey. We are to listen with judgment in mind. When it comes to the Word of God, how do we listen? Do we listen with judgment in mind? In fact, do we listen gaining the understanding that the Word of God calls us to action? We should be willing to do something with what we hear. But the sad fact is that not everyone is a good listener. And it's amazing to me, and I've discussed this with other preachers, and if you've ever stood before a group of people, you can tell who's listening and who is not. Sometimes people are here, but they're not here. They're here in body, but their mind is somewhere else, and you can tell it. And sometimes it's not because they have their eyes closed. They're not sleeping. They're fully aware of what's going on around them. The fact that somebody's up here in the pulpit, wah, 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 that's all they're hearing, because their mind is somewhere else, and you can tell it by the look in their eyes. Do I have your attention now? Can you hear me now? What are the different types of listeners? Well, there are those that are hard of hearing. Now, I'm not talking about those who have problems taking in sounds in their ears. This is not what Jesus was talking about in Matthew chapter 13, verses 13 through 15. As he went about speaking to people, communicating to them the plan of God that was unfolding before their very eyes, he was not speaking to those who were deaf, but those who would not receive. In Matthew chapter 13, verses 13 through 15, in way of explanation, he said, therefore I speak to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. Verse 14 says, and in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. And verse 15 tells us exactly why. It's the exact same reason that people sit in a pew and don't hear what the preacher said. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart, their mind, and should be converted, and I should heal them. He was talking about people that have turned it down. They shut it out. Also the dull of hearing. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 11. The penman of the book of Hebrews was directed to write to those Jews who were in danger of apostasy. In chapter 5 and verse 11, we see, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. It's amazing to me that the receiver gets tired of delivering or receiving the message or hearing the message if they're not interested in it. But they fail to understand that the deliverer sometimes has a difficult time. It's hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of understanding. Those that are dull of hearing will not hear the Word of God. Those that are hard of hearing from a mental standpoint will not receive the Word of God. There are also those who have itching ears. They want to hear something, but what do they want to hear? 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. just after the Apostle Paul had been directed to write to Timothy, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering. What do we find? Why? Why is this necessary? Because there are going to be those who don't want to listen. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. People will hear what they want to hear. They will listen. They will look for. They will seek. They will find that which they want to hear. If they want to hear the truth, they're going to find somebody who proclaims the truth. If they want to hear fables, they will go to where stories are told. There are also those with noble and honest hearts who listen with readiness. I appreciate when I can tell that somebody's listening. When someone is engrossed in what is being said, not because I'm the one saying it, it's because the message that needs to be proclaimed is the one that is being proclaimed, and it does something to this person. It helps them. In Luke chapter 8 and verse 15, we see the Lord again speaking. And he's talking about the parable of the sower and the seed that falls on the different types of hearts or minds. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Pointing out here that it has to fall onto an honest heart before that heart becomes a good heart. It has to fall onto an honest heart, one ready to receive, one who is willing to listen. Notice, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth much fruit. If it doesn't fall on an honest heart, it's going to be like the wayside soil or the rocky soil or the thorny soil. We find an example of these in Acts chapter 17 in verse 11. We know that speaking about the Bereans, and they are commended for their actions. They not only listened to what was said, they checked it out to make sure that what was said was what God intended. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. They were good listeners. And they searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. What kind of listener are you? It is important that we be good listeners. Why is it important to be good listeners? Because if you are a good listener, you can be blessed. Now, I'm not saying that God has not blessed all of humanity. The fact that the sun came up today is indeed a blessing. The fact that the sun will go down or go to the other, the world will turn, and the earth will turn and the sun will disappear from our view is indeed a blessing. But we need spiritual blessing as well. In Matthew chapter 13, verses 16 and 17. Notice what Jesus said to those who would willingly listen to him. Those who would willingly receive the things that he had said. But blessed are your ears, for they see, and your eyes, for they see, and for your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. You know, man had been told from the beginning that God was going to send his son. And there were those who desired to know this, desired to see this, desired to hear the Son of God speak. It's important to be a good listener so that we might have saving faith. In Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, the Apostle Paul wrote, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Those who listen to the word of God, being faithfully proclaimed the gospel of Christ, they receive the power unto salvation. The righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. It is revealed from the word of God that it would produce faith within the individual. Romans chapter 10, verses 14 through 17 shows us also how it is that listening plays a part in one becoming an individual with saving faith. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how then shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard, and how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But alas, not all have obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? Look at verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We must listen if we will have saving faith. We must listen so that we might bear fruit. If we don't know how to serve God, how are we going to bear fruit? Again, Luke chapter 8, this time in verse 15. And as he's describing the various types of soil, but that on the good ground are they which in an honest and a good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Listening is important to prevent apostasy. How far are each one of us from apostasy? Oh, it can't happen to me. I'm a member of the church. Yes, it can. All we have to do is stop listening. All we have to do is stop reading. There'll be another sermon on that later. But we're talking about listening. In Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, those Hebrews who were Christians, who were children of God, notice what they were told. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. They go away from us. Have you ever had this experience? You know, I knew that at one time. Somebody asked you a question. I knew that at one time. What if somebody comes to you and says, hey, did you ever learn all the books of the Bible? What are you going to say? Yeah. And then they, hey, go ahead, list them all for me. Can you do it? We must not let these things slip, even the things which we continue to hear, that we might not apostatize. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast in every transgression and disobedience received a just record of reward, listen to this. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? We've got to continue to listen to that word. We've got to continue to listen to the gospel. We must continue to be good listeners to avoid rejection. I'm not talking about rejection of men. I'll guarantee you, no matter what you do, in whatever area of life, you're going to be rejected by some people if you stand for anything at all. You may stand in the wrong, but you're going to be rejected by some people here on this earth. But that doesn't matter. It matters if you do right or wrong, but it doesn't matter that you're rejected by people of the earth. But what about if you're rejected from God? In Matthew chapter 10, verses 14 through 15, those who would not hear were rejected. This is the limited commission. This is when he's talking to his disciples and he's sending them out. He's sending them out not to the Samaritans and not to the Gentiles, but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And the Lord told them, and whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when you depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. I mean, give them plenty of chance. Give them the opportunity. Make it available to them and keep the door open. But move on. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable in the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Why? Because they heard and they wouldn't listen. They had the opportunity and wouldn't take advantage. In Acts chapter 13, we see the same thing existing in the church age. After the establishment of the church. I love this passage because it's something I would really relish to see happen. And the next Sabbath day, of course not on the Sabbath day, if they want to meet on Saturday and hear the gospel preached, I would call it a gospel meeting or a revival and definitely preach, especially if this situation happened, came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. You know, if the city of Charlotte was to call me and go like, you know, we're going to fill up whatever the stadium is called there where the Panthers play, Can you come Saturday and preach the gospel? It wouldn't take me long at all to say, you betcha. And that happened when Paul was there. But notice that there were those who stood against him. They rejected the word of God. When the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against the things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing ye put it from you and judge yourself unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. Now this is in full keeping of what the Apostle Paul had been told. Because he says, and for hath so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light to the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. When the Gentiles heard this, they were very glad. Why? You have a classic example here of a group that would listen, the Gentiles, and a group that would not, the Jews. Who do you think were going to be rejected? They're going to be the ones who didn't listen. We ought to be good listeners to escape condemnation. Don't raise your hands, but how many of you here want to go to hell? I'm glad nobody raised their hand. And I suspect, had I not said don't raise your hand, nobody would. Nobody wants to be condemned. In Matthew chapter 12, verses 41 through 42, you'll see the contrast between a group from the Old Testament that Jesus is speaking about and that very group that he was speaking to, in that one of them listened and one did not. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, one greater than Jonah is here. The queen of the south shall rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. It's important to be a good listener. So how do we do this? What are the steps? First and foremost, especially when it comes to worship, we are to make listening an integral part of your worship. What does your worship consist of? Arriving at the building, maybe chatting a little bit. Some people call that worship. Fellowship, they call it. Sitting in a pew. Going through the service. Have I heard it said? No, that's not what worship is. We need to make listening an integral part of our worship. We need to listen from the first to the last. It infuriates me. As I'm preaching and I don't say in conclusion, because that means the preacher preaches 15 more minutes. But as you begin to deliver the invitation, you begin to talk about the various steps of the plan of salvation, you hear Bibles slamming shut. You hear zippers going. You see people scurrying around getting their jackets and stuff like that. Listen from the beginning to the end. Why? Because every word of God that is uttered from a pulpit is important if it is rightly divided and properly delivered. Look at the speaker. You know, it's important. And it's amazing to me. I can hear a lot better. And I got pretty good hearing, as some of you all well know. But I can hear a lot better if I can look at the thing that's making the noise. The mouth that is voicing the words. I mean, lean forward if necessary. It's amazing. I'll see people and they'll be so interested that they're not realizing they're inching forward on their chair. And they're leaning forward and they're listening intently. You can tell that person is engrossed. Read along in your Bible. I do appreciate the fact that people here turn in their Bibles when Scripture is called. I've actually had people to call me down and say, you go too fast. Give us a little minute to find the Scriptures. I've tried to do that. Matter of fact, the next one's Hebrews chapter 4 and verses 1 and 2 if you want to turn there. But read along in your Bible as it's going on. You know, the speaker, whether myself or somebody else, it's possible that we make a mistake. It is possible that we misread something. And we want to know it. Now, we don't want you to pick us to death. We don't want you to make a list of all my mistakes in a sermon and meet me at the back door with it. But I do appreciate. And I do. I'll call out the wrong passage. Call out 1 Corinthians and read 2 Corinthians. I do it all the time.
But it's important.
It also helps me to realize and understand when you catch my mistakes and I don't,
you're listening.
Listen with faith. That's where Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 and 2 comes in. We must have faith. In Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left of us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Notice what it's saying being said here. Those people heard it, but they didn't believe it. Faith did not exist with some of them. They were banking on the fact, some of those Jews, the ones of whom is being spoken, that they were the people of God. When we listen and listen intently, listen with the intent to act. Turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 33. Beginning in verse 30. When the word of God is to be spoken, we should be ready to listen. We should be good listeners. And we should do so with the intent to do something with the message that is delivered. Ezekiel was directed to make sure that everyone had an opportunity to hear, but also informed that they were not going to hear them. Also, thou son of man, the children of thy people are still talking against thee by the walls and in the doors of the houses, and speak one to another, every one to his brother, saying, come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from the Lord. And they came unto thee as the people cometh, and they set before thee as my people, and they hear the words, but they will not do them. I know that not everyone is a diligent student of the Bible. But just from a common sense standpoint, who is it that you think that the Lord was pleased with of Israel? Was it those who were listening to the word and doing it? Or was it those who were listening to the word and going like, nah, God, we don't need to worry about that. That don't apply to me. Notice, for with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. James chapter 1, verses 22 and through 25 shows us the New Testament application of the same principle and concept that we saw there in Ezekiel 33. And as the brother of the Lord was directed by the Spirit to write these words, we have them recorded for us. And notice what verse 22 says. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. What is that saying? That is saying that you can hear. And if you hear and if you listen and you don't do it, you are deceiving yourselves. The explanation follows. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. He's talking about looking in a mirror. We all do it. We get up in the mornings, we look at ourselves in the mirror. Some of us like what we see, some of us don't. Some things we can change, some things we can't. However, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. You know, it's important that we examine ourselves, but that when we examine ourselves, we don't forget about what it is we determine. What it is we realize, what it is we understand from the Word of God, we got to do something about it. And then we see the contrast to that in verse 25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, that's the Word of God, folks, and continueth therein, listen, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Why is it important that we listen? Why? So that we can be blessed in doing the things that we have heard in the Word of God. How well have you been listening? That's a question everybody ought to ask themselves. In Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 3, again we return to the Old Testament, and we see the words given to the prophet of God to deliver to the people of God. Keep in mind and understand that the words given to the prophets in the Old Testament were given to them to deliver to the people of God, God's children, the Jews. The words of the New Testament are given to the church. Isaiah speaking to God's children, Israel. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Ultimately, where would that end up? The sure mercies of David, we can experience that today. We can realize salvation today because the price has been paid. Christ died upon Calvary's cross, and he provided the means whereby one can be saved. But unless one listens to the Word of God, unless one understands from the Word of God what they are to do, and unless they fully carry out what the Word of God says to do, they cannot be saved. Plain and simple. If you pull this tab, you will open this envelope. We all understand that. It happens every week. I get some bills like that. Pull this tab. I don't want to. But the conditions are there. If you pull the tab, the envelope will open. If you listen to the Word of God, and if you understand, because you've been listening, what the Word of God says, and if you do those things, you can be saved. How well do you listen? Do you need that salvation? Let me tell you how following God's word can bring you to salvation. And understand, I'm listening. I'm listening and watching to see if you're listening. First and foremost, one must hear. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, very clear. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It is important that we hear, and it's important what we hear. We must hear the word of God, God's plan of salvation, not mine, not one of the elders, not the preacher over there or preacher over here, what God said to do. One must also believe. In John chapter 8 and verse 24, Jesus himself said, I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins, for if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. He's telling you what you are to believe. How do you know that? Because you've heard it. And where have you heard it? You've heard it from the Word of God. So we must hear, and we must believe. We must also repent. We must turn away from that life of sin. We cannot continue to live a life of sin and serve God. Jesus himself said you can't serve two masters. But in Acts chapter 17 and verse 30, we see that it is a commandment. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. You know, repentance has been part of God's plan even before the church was established. Those under the Old Testament law at the time of Jesus and after the preaching of John and Jesus began, those people, the Jews, were to repent. They were to turn back to God to prepare themselves for the kingdom, which they would ultimately hear this same message. Or this same invitation to repent, to turn away from that sin. Also, one must confess. We saw in John 8:24 that one must believe, but in Romans 10 and verse 10, one must confess. It's not just enough to believe. We must be willing to confess publicly and before men that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And yes, one must be baptized. That's what God's word says, and that's what Jesus Christ said. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. And it's important that one be baptized in accordance to the word of God. Having done so, they become a child of God, and according to Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, they're added to the church. Why? Because they listened, and because they did what the Bible commanded. Having done that, having become a child of God, I often tell people that's when the real work begins. Because from that point forward, one must live faithful unto death. The whole congregation in Revelation, the congregation of Smyrna, in chapter 2 and verse 10, they were told, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. It's a sad, sad situation that sometimes even Christians don't listen. And sometimes when Christians don't listen, they begin to stumble and they begin to fall. And you know what? They may not even realize it. And then one day it comes to their attention. It comes to their attention because they've heard it. Somebody's told them, or they read it. And they realize and understand that their iniquities had separated between them and God. They're still God's children. They're just erring children. And if a Christian has allowed sin to separate between them and God, they need to do something, and we need to do something. We need to take the message to them. We need to make sure they hear it, and it's up to them to listen. And if they listen, what are they to do with it? They're to repent. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 25 and 26, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and verse 26 is their part, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. How do they do that? Through repentance and prayer. Acts chapter 8 and verse 22. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. Are you listening? Can you hear me now? Do you know what God's word wants you to do? What is it worth to you? What is he worth to you? If you're subject to the Lord's invitation, we invite you to stand, all to stand. And if you're subject, we want you to come as together we stand and sing.